Hi, I'm Jen.
And I'm Anthony, and this is Bottom Bracket Biking,
a couple's guide to biking. Hey everyone, welcome to a special episode of the podcast. This is technically episode 13, but we've got something different for you guys today.
Yeah, we went out and we got some audio.
So it's weird, I'm like 90% sure this will work. We tested it out. But like, it's the first time we've actually used it in the field.
That's cool.
So that'll be fun.
So we covered the Iowa Wind and Rock and the Spotted Horse, both of which were put on by Sarah Cooper and Steve Fuller and Dory.
Dory Jansma, I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah. It was over 2 days. The Iowa Wind and Rock is a 340-mile gravel ride. And the Spotted Horse is only... is only 150 miles.
Usually there is a 200-mile option as well, but this year with COVID, they combined Spotted Horse and the Wind and Rock and took the 200-mile option out.
So the week before, we talked to Sarah Cooper to get kind of her opinion of what the event was going to be like.
Yep, kind of get some rundown, you know, what to expect out there, what might be interesting to cover.
Yeah, and the week before, the weather looked pretty much terrible. We talked about that as well.
Oh, yeah. It was really the beginning of kind of the cold times in Iowa.
Well, that Monday, we had gotten, 6 inches of snow in Johnston?
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, so that really kicked off the week pretty well. And when we talked to her, that was right after. That would have been right after that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We would have had a porch full of snow. Good times.
What's the start time for the Spotted Horse?
We moved that to 8 a.m. as well.
Okay.
So 8 a.m. both days. So no early crack of dawn start this year. And the field is pretty small. So most of our hardcore Spotted Horse riders are doing Wind and Rock. And so it worked out pretty well with the whole COVID scene that we just don't have that large of a field this year to worry about. So we have 50-something on Friday and then 50-something on Saturday. So it's pretty evenly split. Here's hoping there's not really that much mud.
Fingers crossed. I saw that there was no snow down there. I think officially we got 5 inches here in Johnston.
Yeah, but it's supposed to... Yeah, but this week doesn't look great.
You know, it does and it doesn't. It's like it goes back and forth. And then Friday looked like it would dry out pretty well for Spotted Horse. So I'm optimistic about Spotted Horse and Wind and Rock. They'll just get what they get.
So I wasn't able to make it to the start of the Iowa Wind and Rock, but Anthony went down and talked to several people there.
Yeah, I went down. It was misting a little bit when I went down there, and the night before it had rained. And I talked to Kelsey, who, well, I'll let her explain. Sorry for the bad audio. We are just starting out on this new way of doing it.
But so last night, came and I set up our tent like right before dark.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to get it all set. I don't typically set up our tent, Zita, so got it all set up. Everything was blowing around. We went into town for dinner, came back, and our tent was just flooded.
Oh, so you weren't like in it when it flooded?
No, fortunately not. No, it was flooded, blown over.
Oh my god, really?
Yep. We've had such great weather.
Yeah. So what did you end up doing then?
So there's a shed, and we ended up putting our air mattress in the shed. And we slept in the shed last night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you sleep well at least?
Pretty well. As good as you can when it gets down to 30 degrees or something.
Yeah. If you didn't hear that, because somebody didn't record the best audio, me, Kelsey's tent got flooded and blown over while they went out to supper. And they ended up sleeping in a shed overnight. So that was some people's experience.
Good start to a race.
Yeah, right. Great start. And then those who didn't sleep in a shed overnight, they got there nice and early. The race directors, of course, got there the earliest.
What time did you get here? Did you stay the night down here? Or?
No, we got... Sarah and I both got here about 5:30.
Okay.
So Steve Fuller got there at 5:30. And then we went and talked to Cole Ledbetter before the race. Well, I talked about the drop bags. Do you know what drop bags are, Jen?
So, I do. I'm not sure everyone here would. So, on a race like this, it is self-supported, but there are volunteers out on the course that have, like, prepared bags that you send ahead. There are limitations to that. You can't send a whole duffel bag of food and change clothes and all that. But especially with COVID, since they weren't guaranteed to have open sea stores and I think changed the route to avoid more civilization, they're basically supply bags.
Yeah, and the volunteers don't have anything to do with it. They just drop it off at the checkpoint and you provide the food.
Yes, yes. The volunteers are only there to get the bags out to the checkpoints.
Yeah, and there were, what, two checkpoints, I believe?
Yes, on Wind and Rock there were two.
Yeah, so over 340 miles you have two checkpoints, and you put a lot of food in those bags, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's thousands of calories in each drop bag. Yeah. I probably have way more than I need, so I'll kind of determine... First checkpoint, I'll determine how much I took and then take everything from the first checkpoint, but the second checkpoint I might leave something.
Yeah.
So, we'll just see.
Like he explained, I think it's probably better to have too much rather than get out there and not have enough.
Well, and I heard some people say, too, that, you know, they just weren't sure either what they'd want for food or what they'd want for extra clothing because, you know, 340 miles, a lot of things can change in that time.
And while I was talking to Cole, I noticed that he had duct tape on his shoes, and it was probably one of the better ideas I've ever seen for longer rides. I'll let him explain kind of why.
Yeah.
Do you just tape the top of your shoes to keep them dry?
Keeps them dry and keeps the wind out. I have wool socks on.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good idea.
I've literally written duct tape trying to get them to sponsor me because I use it all the time, and it's hilarious because I've been through just muddy hell races, and the whole tops of my shoes are clean afterwards.
Yeah. Do you have extra tape in case that comes off? Or
I'm grabbing some out of her car because I saw there was a roll in the back.
That's such a good idea. Because, like, I've seen those covered for, like, the front of your shoes, but...
Those are the dumbest thing ever, in my opinion, because yeah. First time you go down a muddy beer road, you lose one of those things, you're out $30.
Yeah. And I've seen them, I thought, man, those things get full of gunk. And they don't get full of gunk, too.
Nope.
Like, dirt can't get in. That's such a good idea. It?
2 years ago, they lasted until, like, mile 80-something, and finally the couple miles of hike-a-bike got them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. What's
that? I did Spotted Horse 2 years ago, and it was raining the whole time. And I bought trash bags at a convenience store. I put them on my shoes, and I just stepped through them to clip in.
I started out the day putting on store bags all around my feet. And then taping the bags to my legs
yep.
with duct tape, so then it just shedded water over the whole thing.
Yep.
Those lasted until that same B road, and finally all of a sudden it got a puncture and then filled with water.
That's exactly what I did too. I have a picture of me with just like half of a trash bag and like the other one still on.
You can, as the pictures of me last year, you can see the pink duct tape here and the pink duct tape up on my leg.
Jen, do you remember when I came in with like trash bags on my feet?
Yeah, you didn't shut up about how amazing the trash bags were for like 3 weeks. I think they might have been what saved your feet from freezing off.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear that Cole during that race had almost the same experience of trash bags and pink duct tape. I didn't have duct tape, so I ended up, what did I do? I think I just twisted it up and like tucked it into itself and hoped it held.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it came undone, I just left it because it was fine. I didn't care anymore.
It was better than nothing.
And I should point out, that was on the 150-mile ride. What Cole was doing was the 340.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily something special to just you guys. When we were there at the beginning of the Spotted Horse on Saturday, there is a lady who, she put her socks on, and then she put grocery bags over her feet, and then she put them in her shoes. It's a very common thing to kind of keep the rain and the wind out.
Yeah, everyone wants this high-tech, breathable fabric, and then these people are just using trash bags because, you know what? Works good enough.
Mm-hmm. And if it gets muddy, you can pull them off and use them to clean stuff up.
So we had 22 people start the Iowa Wind and Rock.
That sounds right.
Ooh, I hope that's right. But Fuller gave a nice little speech at the beginning.
First of all, thank you, everybody, for showing up on this fine, fine Iowa fall day. We appreciate everybody taking the time to support us and changing your schedules and joining us for a few miles of Iowa gravel. Woo-hoo. Y'all happy to be here?
Thanks for hosting. Yeah.
We hope you guys find the course challenging. And be sure to look up from your stems. And there's still some color in the trees, some beautiful vistas out there, and maybe a dog or two to greet you somewhere along course. So, a couple of quick things, the normal stuff. Look out for each other when you're out on the course. It's a self-supported race, but you can support other riders with food, tools, help, encouragement. We'd like to see everybody finish. Second of all, there's still farm equipment out here. You're going to be in some very rural parts of Iowa where they do not expect bikes and may not have seen a bicycle in quite some time, other than in their garage. So please, when you're cresting hills, crest hills on the right-hand side and listen for tractors, trucks, semis, anything like that. We want everybody to be safe. It's gonna be cold, you guys know this. Pay attention to your body, pay attention to each other. If you think you're in too deep, listen to your body and make good choices.
Okay, I hope y'all can hear me. I'm not real good at yelling. A couple things about the route. We may end up doing a reroute at the unnamed road around mile 60. If we end up rerouting that, there will be these stakes with a pink flag. You'll see it at the turn. The reroute is super simple, and it's the exact same distance, just about. So it would be two rights, and then you'll be able to see the route on your GPX. That road is all grass. It goes between two farm fields, but about halfway down it, there's a drainage culvert that may now be a river. If it's a river, I think we're just not going to deal with that today. So if it looks fine, if I can get down it without ending up to my ankles, you'll be riding it. John, one of our volunteers, is going to try and put blinkies on those two bridges that I warned you about in the email. You know where they are, so just use caution when you cross those.
Is there a big downhill bomb into those?
No, there's not. No, you got plenty of time to figure out that it's a sketchy bridge before you get there. We're going to let you guys line up here, and then at 8 o'clock you can go. The police have better things to do on a weekday than to start us. So when you get to that end of the driveway, you're in the race, and you're responsible for getting out onto the road and down the road safely. So everyone please stop and look. As you can see, it's rush hour, so it shouldn't be a big issue, but just be sure to look and wait if you have to. That's just part of racing. You got to watch where you're going and obey traffic laws. So I will let you guys line yourselves up accordingly, and we will take off in 3 minutes.
Can I have that phone number one, the phone number?
515.
Are all of you guys ready to go do a gravel ride now?
A 342-day gravel ride?
Oh yeah, I'm totally inspired. Not trained, very inspired.
Yeah, you got the talk. The only thing is you might need to get a screaming chicken.
I think I could do that.
Okay, good. Because for some reason, there was a dang screaming chicken at the beginning of the race.
Anthony, there are people who would consider a screaming chicken the least insane part of this whole event.
Yeah, but it's not exactly a spectator sport. So the screaming chicken is what I saw that was crazy. We're going to play the beginning of the race for you.
Enjoy the chicken.
Be prepared. There is a terrifying screaming chicken. So if it's a little loud,
have fun.
Maybe turn it down for a second.
All right, go.
After we sent the riders off, the volunteers went and they checked all the names.
Then we did it again the next day. And it should be noted that at the second race send-off, the people from the night before who were still on course were not back yet. So 24 hours later, do you know how many riders were still on course, Anthony?
Four. The next morning.
Yep.
So overnight, 18 people had dropped out.
But yeah, the other four were still going strong when we sent people off on the spotted horse.
And overnight, it was 24 degrees. I mean, this was no joke.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm just here
again today.
You're ready to do your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody ready to ride and be safe. Some quick announcements. This is a self-supported race. No outside support. You can help your fellow racer. It is cold. We have had people yesterday pull up into checkpoints and they were hypothermic. Watch yourselves. Temperature regulation, super important today. We don't want anybody leaving the course in an ambulance. So keep that in mind. Second of all, lots of hills.
And then we got a 2-minute warning and they were off.
And then a few people came back.
And probably the best little bit of audio that we got.
I was just going to say, we got someone coming back already.
Yeah.
It's been, what, 20? Actually, we can check. 14 minutes. The first guy to quit yesterday was at 2 hours.
I don't know if he's quitting or coming back to get something.
Probably got a mechanical.
We could talk.
Let's not talk, he's probably very upset.
Rob, Tim, in the realm of stupid luck,
but the relay cable broke.
Oh, shit.
Well, that explains why you stopped. There.
Oh, man. Cable frayed on the inside of the...
Well, I can only assume.
Dude? Seriously?
Second shift. What's going on the hill?
Click.
Click? That's weird.
Woo! What happened to him?
Derailleur cable.
Two of them?
Brooke's broke and his is frozen. I couldn't get it. I couldn't get to move with a pair of pliers.
Wow.
He got water in there during the summer and froze up?
It sounds like he had the bike on the back of it. It feels like it might be rusted or something.
Oh. Yeah.
So the freeze out and three is out.
We're going to go to the first checkpoint, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically there were two people who almost immediately had issues with their derailleurs. Like, this one of them, I know it was on their second shift, it just quit working. So it was something that they couldn't fix, and so both of them were just out.
Yeah, one broke off in the shifter, the cable did, and the other one, the cable was completely frozen in the housing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were off to the next adventure,
which was checkpoint one, which is right around mile 35.
The checkpoints were something we hadn't done before, right?
Well, we'd been to checkpoints, but we've never, like, spent any time at them other than, you know, going through as a rider. So it was a really new, unique, and kind of interesting experience just to get to hang out there.
I guess I did do that at the Indy 50, but I hadn't done it with you before.
Yeah.
So it was cool. We got to meet new people and kind of talk outside, and it was a nice change from isolation and COVID.
It was also really kind of cool getting to see, you know, the different people, how they came through, because we're at mile 35 on a 150-mile ride. Like, that's just the warm-up to some of these people. And so the first couple riders didn't even stop. Like, they've got their water game down enough that they know that they could make it to, what was the second one?
85-ish? Yeah. It was either 85 or 92.
Yeah, they didn't even stop. We just cheered as they went by. And the other thing about checkpoints is that the volunteers there were making sure they had everyone's number, so that way we knew that there wasn't someone lost out on the course.
Yeah, we made sure that we had everyone accounted for. My favorite was the people who came through at the beginning and just looked disappointed that they might have to stop. And we just said, no, you can go. We just need your number. And then the one guy I talked to, his rear brake just wasn't working. And I asked him if it was working at all. He said, nope, just not using it. And I think he might have won the fat bike category.
Woo! Stop! Just tell us your number.
32. 35 and 34.
Good job, guys! Woo!
35 and 34.
Yeah, some of them are hard to see.
Yeah. 10 o'clock, straight up.
No, right? No, nope.
So, two nights ago, I rode to work and back. Right, and it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
I got water in my rear brake cable.
Whoa.
and I run mechanical brakes.
Yeah.
Right at the start, my fucking brakes locked up. So.
Two people, before they hit the gravel, their derailleurs broke.
Really?
Yeah, one had a cable freed up, and the other broke its cable.
Oh, yeah, it's either broken or frozen. My guess is it's frozen up in there.
Your rear one?
My rear brake, yeah.
Does it still not work?
Oh, dude, I'm not even fucking with it. That's perfect. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
We got done there. There was only a few people that hadn't gone through, so me and Jen headed to the next checkpoint, and we saw people there. So after 4 or 5 hours of biking, people seemed to be a little more calm and willing to take a break.
Yeah, we actually only had one person who didn't really want to stop, and he still had to stop because his seat was loose, but everyone else was stopping and getting water. And this is where, for Spotted Horse, this was the only stop that had the drop bags on it. So a lot of people were restocking on food and getting rid of trash and happy to chill for just a second.
Yeah. There was one drop bag that just had 4 beers in it.
Yeah.
Five.
5 beers and 2 goo packs, I think. We did not see the person who came through for that one, and I was very curious who they were going to be.
It had to have been a joke. If it wasn't a joke, I can't even.
Hey, maybe they had a lot of other food on them, and that was just for fun.
So you ended up talking to a bunch of people, right?
Yeah, as people came in, I'd kind of wander over and, you know, just see how it was going. Some of them, you could really tell the people who came in from road biking versus mountain biking based on how they hated or loved the B-grade roads that were in it.
How's it going?
Oh, good. It's good. Good to feel like you're kind of over halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Need water?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to do a little tailwind thing.
Can we fill up your water bottle?
Yeah, I'll give you this one. Oh, yeah, skeins. Okay, cool.
Thanks for putting the orange tape on it. That helps.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Thanks.
And if you have any trash, we can take that too.
Okay, I will give you a second. I'm totally disorganized. Sorry.
How's it going?
Good. Oh, how's it going here?
Not bad. We got a heater here, so it's been really nice for us. We're not pedaling to keep warm.
Yeah. It's not too bad out once you're going.
How's the muddy section?
Not bad today. Nothing like last year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Your water bottle filled up?
Well, and heck, having the fat bike might have helped with that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I heard a couple people who really didn't like that section.
Mm.
Jen did a good job of talking to them and kind of seeing how they were doing. But after that, we headed back to the winery.
Yeah, we kind of discussed, like, did it make sense to go to checkpoint 3? And something that I hadn't thought about was, you know, on a 150-mile ride, the checkpoints themselves are spread out really far. So it wasn't like, oh, it's just a 5-minute jump to the next checkpoint. Like, no, it was half an hour from the winery to checkpoint 1, and then another half hour from checkpoint 1 to checkpoint 2, and 35 minutes back to the winery. And we kind of decided it made more sense to go back and see what was going on there.
And we were there at the finish line when Greg Gleason came in as the, Iowa Wind and Rock winner.
And actually the only official finisher as well. John Jarvis came in after him, but it was after the time cutoff.
Yeah, so Greg came in at 31 hours and 15 minutes for 340 miles. That is over a 10-mile-an-hour average, which is just...
That's insane. That is incredible.
Oh, and what was he riding?
He was on a single speed.
Yeah, he was on a single speed. The other guy, the only other finisher, came in at 40 hours, I believe.
That sounds right.
Yeah, because he came in at like 11:45 at night.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the two Iowa Wind and Rock finishers.
And the other thing that was nice about being back at the winery is that we had a chance to talk to some of the other people. So talked to Dory, did not record any of that, but got some very interesting insights from her. And then also got to talk to Steve Fuller again.
15-minute nap. Does that mean you've gotten an hour and 45 minutes of sleep in the last 24 now?
Yeah, over 24. Well,
yeah.
Because I woke up 4:15 a.m. on Friday. And so we have over 36 hours now.
Nice. And you'll probably be up until pretty late tonight, right?
Yeah, till I think the finish line closes at 11 p.m. So it'll be a longer day than we normally have for honestly either race, just mm-hmm. because of how everything's kind of blended together. So normally for wind and rock, I'd be up at probably 36 to 38-ish mm-hmm. hours, but you know, between getting up before the race and everything afterwards. And then this is probably in the 30-ish yeah. hour range, something like that.
Hey, at least
my math skills are a little rusty right now, so.
Yep, I can understand that. But at least you don't have a 200-mile today, though.
Yeah, that's really simplified things. It's shortened our day, because normally we'd be here. Normally we would start the race at 6 a.m.
Yep.
And the 200-miler would get done by, like, is it 2 a.m., 1 a.m., something like that. I think 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
is whenever is the cutoff, because that's 20 hours. I think that's how the math works out.
So, yeah, it's a long day for everybody involved, or I guess in the case of Wind and Rock, a long 2 days.
Yeah, 31 hours of racing is no joke. Did you talk to Steve about the Wind and Rock people as well?
Yeah, he actually had some really cool insights on, you know, what some of those guys go through and what it takes to do that race.
Yeah, since he was there overnight and we weren't, because we liked sleep. So let's listen to him talk about it.
I don't know, Greg Gleason was out pretty much by himself. I would say at least probably from mile 100 to the end.
From what the updates I was seeing, that sounds about right.
You know, he had guys that were chasing him, and they were going back and forth kind of at the beginning, and then, like, this gap opened up, and, like, it never really closed, even though, like, two of the guys chasing him were on geared bikes, and they just could never quite get that gap closed for some reason, whether it was pace or whether it was navigational error or, you know, whatever it was. So, Greg just kind of kept going nice and steady the whole time. He didn't waste a lot of time at checkpoints. Like, he came in at checkpoint one, he was in and out in probably, I'd say, less than 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And he came in to checkpoint two, and it was kind of the same thing. He had his drop bags. He didn't load a lot of extra stuff up. He took a bunch of calories in and took a few things with him, but yeah, he was really, really efficient at his stops, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So for Wind and Rock, even, like, second place last night, he came into the checkpoint, and I'd gotten an update, and they said he's leaving now, and I'm like, oh, that's a lot slower stop than his first one. They're like, yeah, he was cold. And so he did the right thing. He took the break that he needed to get himself set up for the finish. So he took mm-hmm. like a 5-minute nap in front of the heater that people had set up at that checkpoint. He had a couple cups of hot coffee mm-hmm. and just kind of, you know, that reset for that, you know, what is, you know, out of 340 miles, that's almost like the last half of the race.
Yeah. I can't even imagine that. Like, the mental aspect of that type of race.
Yeah, it's tough. Being with people makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
And like the three guys that were in the top three mm-hmm. spots yesterday, you know, Greg's a multi-time winner of Trans Iowa. So he knows how to ride these races.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Kudelik may have that. I think that's how it's pronounced. Again, sleep.
Yeah.
He's a Marine. He's had multiple tours in Afghanistan. He's an injured combat veteran that's basically had his body put back together and still went back overseas. So he's
got that mental part.
Yeah, he's
pretty well dialed in.
He's as mentally tough as they come. David Hasse, who was in third place through checkpoint two, is he's a super experienced ultra racer. He's a multi-time Ram finisher, I believe. So again, just those guys are all just like cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
And each had their own little issue that they needed to take care of. Some of them were able to take care of everything, and some of them were just not quite able to get all the pieces of the puzzle together last night. So,
well, and you know, sometimes like the two guys that were out before mile one today, sometimes your bike just doesn't play nice.
Yeah, which, luck of the draw.
All of that you were talking about for the Wind and Rock, I mean, it applies to the Spotted Horse too. It's just half the distance. So if you don't prepare perfectly, you know, you might be able to limp your way in, right?
Yeah. So speaking of Spotted Horse, do we know what the results were on that one?
Yes, I have it right here on a big PDF. Would you like to count them out now?
So we already went through this.
We prepared ahead of time.
With all of the riders, there were 22 people who finished the Spotted Horse, and there were also 18 DNFs. So people who showed up for the day and didn't finish. There are also a number of people who signed up and didn't start for one reason or another. But yeah, 22 finishers isn't bad.
So the overall winner was Steve Curran. 10 hours and 17 minutes total time.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost 15 mile an hour average, which I can do that for 62 miles for 100K.
Yeah, you want to do that three times longer?
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine. And then the last person to finish was 15 hours.
15 hours and 6 minutes. And who's our top women rider? That was...
Open Women, no. 150.
It was Heather Poskovich.
I didn't know that name.
Yeah.
I think she rides a bunch of stuff that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, she's pretty cool lady. Very strong rider. But yeah, she finished in 11 hours and 25 minutes.
And she was fifth overall. That's impressive. I think I need to ride single speed. I'll get at least top four.
So there were only three riders who did. Actually, I take that back. There are three men riders and one woman rider on a single speed. All of the men finished and the lady did not.
Yeah, and those are actually really impressive times. 12 to 13 hours for the single speed riders who finished. You should do single speed women.
Yeah, I think it would be impressive if I finished this with full gears.
It'd be impressive if you finished this on an e-bike.
I was going to say, give me an e-bike, give me a pedal assist, and I'll go do this. But.
So if you do want to get into it, and you're not sure about what to do, what is a good way to do that?
Just go be a volunteer. You know, if you don't want to do that, even just go be a spectator. But these races can almost always use volunteers, and it's a really cool way to see what it's actually about. And that's not just coming from us. That's something that Steve and I talked about as well.
For people that are curious about this kind of stuff or have raced, like, say, 100K, and like going out and volunteering at a local or a regional race, we had a lot of volunteers today, but there's a lot of races where they're fighting to get volunteers, and just and you know, you guys have seen this even on the single track side with, you know, mountain bike races. Like, volunteers make this possible, and if you're curious about it, it's a really good way to kind of dip your toe in and kind of see what it's like without having to actually do it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you can't learn everything that way, but you can sure be a lot better prepared just by seeing the hardships that other people go through.
So that's the end of the episode that we have, guys. It's definitely been an interesting one putting it together. Anthony got to do a lot of that. Do you have anything to say about what this one took?
Oh, I have a bunch to say about this. The things that our listeners might like. We spent, I went down there for one morning, got some audio, and then we spent a whole day getting audio. We, like, didn't even hardly see anyone actually finish. That's how long the race took. And I think I've spent probably 8 hours putting this episode together this week.
Yeah, this has been a lot more time consuming than most of our episodes are.
It's been time consuming, but I think if we did it again, it would take more like 4 hours, and we would know who to talk to and what to talk about. Because we have a lot of audio that we, you know, didn't even include. I mean,
yeah, this was definitely a learning experience. So thanks for sticking with us, guys.
Yeah. And if you hate the audio quality of the interviews that were kind of off the cuff, don't worry. I know how to improve that now. i.e. don't go for a walk while talking to people. You know, that's the kind of stuff we learn. That's all I have. I hope you guys liked this episode, thought it was interesting. If you did, and you want to hear something like this but better audio again, let me know.
Yeah, we can definitely do this for more events in the future. I think it'll be something where it opens up more events to us, because before we were only covering the ones that we were planning on participating in, and we just can't make it to all of those.
Yeah, and we can do stuff that we don't want to do, like road races.
This is true, or 340-mile rides that I know that I am not going to be doing in the next 6 months, because I would never be in shape for that then.
So next time we do it, we have a bunch of ways to do it better, and we'll make sure that it is better. But I thought this one turned out okay in the end.
And yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback. That's all for today, guys. Until next time, you can find us on Instagram at bottom.bracket.biking and ride dirt, not mud.
Hey, thanks for listening. Jen, it's Halloween. Do you want to hear a ghost?
Ooh,
yes. All right, here comes a ghost. That was a scary ghost. Thanks for listening, guys.